morning again. May we all hunger and desire that grace and peace that we need. We need so much of it. So it's 2 weeks since we're here. It seems like a long time. In between, we had a long trip north and came safely home. Thank the Lord for that. It's good to be up there for a few days. So I just wondered, did anybody catch what I taught there 2 weeks ago? Anybody remember? What did we talk about? What did I try to teach you? What subject did we talk about? Anybody remember? I think there wasn't too many.
Judgment.
Good. Thank you, Wayne. Okay. It's an area and I trust I can get across what I want to say, but I think it's an area that we really need. We need so many areas. We started back there in Genesis 18. Thought of those verses there. It talks about Abraham. Maybe we'll read those verses again. Judgment, it's a deep subject, and I'm not sure if I can fully get my point across, but it's an area that we need, thinking of in our own lives. But first of all, 18:19, it says there, God's talking about Abraham, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So that's the part we want to get into today, is justice and judgment in our individual lives. And then we started with down in 25 there, it says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And so we talked about the judgment of God, and that he is a judge of all the earth. And do you have any other thoughts? I think to understand what judgment means, it's a little hard to understand fully. We have this impression of what judgment is, and it's I think more than that. Do you remember what we said there 2 weeks ago? What judgment really is? Or another aspect of it? Right, good, I appreciate that. It's close to discernment. And that's the area I want to bring in today. We use judgment in so many things in life. It doesn't matter if we're young. From the time you're children, you start making decisions and choices. And we make judgment. And to be here this morning and to... There's so many judgments, areas of judgment that we make decisions on. And the judgment of God, we pointed out in Psalm 119 there's 22 times, I think, the word judgment or judgments is used. And how David, he says, "Teach me thy judgments and keep me in thy judgments." And the judgments, at first we think of something negative, something to be feared. But judgment is also another meaning besides discernment is divine law. Or it's the ways of God. And the judgments of God are good and righteous and true. And justice and judgment go together. Judgment, as we think of judgment sentence or that, without justice, that's of the world, you know. And only God can give righteous judgment. And all his works are righteous. All his judgments are pure and true. So so this verse that we kind of had as a key verse, I guess, "I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." So that's just not for Abraham. I think it's for God's children. And we all need that to preserve us. We know that there's many choices. And you look back at the children of Israel, we see down at the New Testament and all through history, men and women have made choices and made judgment in their life. And it leads one way or the other. And the children of Israel were commanded to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And do you want blessing or cursing? And both are available to us, and it's up to us. God does not predestinate us one way or the other. Those that humble themselves before him and follow him, then they're, if you want to say predestinated, they're, it's a natural fruit that follows. It's God's blessing. So I'm sure we all desire a safe journey in life. We're in a race, and we need all the help we can get. And there's many pitfalls. It's a very dangerous world we live in. And even in church life, One of the brothers prayed this morning about false worship, I think he said. And what is true worship? And, you know, there's so much Christianity out there. A while ago, I looked into a bit of this. I forget some of the names, but some of these big speakers that really are making an impact in so-called Christianity. And it's, I guess you'd say, more the charismatic movement and signs and wonders. And especially young people are just falling for it. And this drunk in the spirit and all these scary things, it causes to fear. And there's a lot of innocent people getting caught up in those things because they don't know God and don't know the truth. And I guess that was the other, it's kind of a twofold, this study. Last Sunday was more to know God's ways, that he is a God of judgment, what he expects, and what rules or what authority he governs under. And part of judgment is rulership also and government. And we need to know God's ways and what to expect, what God expects of us. And then also how to, today we want to get into that, how to make judgment in our everyday lives. So there's a lot of examples in the Old Testament. We're going to look at a few of them. And I feel so incomplete in this. I hope I can get my point across. There's so much more than what I have here. I'm just going to touch on a few areas. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to fill in. But even back in the Old Testament, judgment was required. It was asked. We're going to get into some of those verses. But in Isaiah 9:7, there's a verse there. It's speaking of the Messiah, Jesus. This was a prophecy of him to come and that to establish his kingdom. Before, there's the kingdom of Israel was God's example, God's object lesson of a righteous people. But then now we're part of a spiritual nation. And so the kingdom of God there, it's in Isaiah 9, it's speaking forward. I think Brother Mike maybe used this verse, chapter 2, about people walking in darkness, seeing a great light and so on. But then verse 6, we all know that verse, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and evermore. So Christ's kingdom is established with justice and judgment. It's fair, and it's according to the rules or the authority of God, the government of God, I guess you'd say, the kingdom of God, that spiritual kingdom that we're part of today. So it's as much for today as it was for the Old Testament. There's so often, well, it's available to us, and that's what I want to bring out, how we need to seek judgment and listen. There's different ways we learn judgment, and we can be taught it too. And the Old Testament has many examples of the people of God who didn't follow judgment. They didn't take heed to judgment. And just one verse is Jeremiah 8:7. It says there that the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times. So even nature, the turtle and the crane and the swallow, observe the time of their coming. But my people, the people of God, which are much higher than the animal life, the animal kingdom, my people know not the judgment of the Lord. So how sad when the people of God who have the opportunity to be the children of God, to know the mind of God, to know God as Abraham did, to walk with him, and yet we neglect that. We miss it. How dangerous that is. 2 Peter 3:16 talks about those that are unlearned and unstable. They wrest the scripture to their own destruction. And so the challenge is for us that we grow in the grace and knowledge, as it says in Peter, that we we study to show ourselves approved, that we grow in the knowledge of God. We know Him, and the more we know Him, the more we are in light, the more we are aware of the dangers around us, the more discerning we can be to choose the right path and to avoid the pitfalls and the slippery spots there are. Back in Isaiah again, 59, I think it's so much like society today, our nations today. Isaiah 59, 14 and 15. Okay, back in 9 it says, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness." And then down to 14. "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." So this is again talking to God's people, that judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off, and the truth is fallen in the street. And is that not society today? You know, what is truth? Nobody knows what truth is. It's so relevant, you can justify anything. It's scary, all the conclusions some people come to, that you can openly sin, and oh, it's justifiable. The end justifies the means, and if you feel good, it's okay. And it's just so much confusion. But the sad thing is, this is coming to God's people, the church. And you know, so many churches today, they, if you look back, say just 50 years, 75 years, the change and the falling away and the confusion. And may God help us. That's why we have God's word. That's why we need teaching, that we don't follow the same, we're all prone to the same way as the children of Israel and as churches in the past. So truth has fallen in the street. It's trampled under. It's not valued, even in business. You know, it's in court, in the court system. There's so much where truth is not valued. It's just disregarded. So we need judgment, and judgment, of course, and justice go together. We have to include the two. But so, okay, I'm giving you a chance. Any thoughts on anything I said? Any questions? Any clearer thoughts that you have on anything I've touched on? We did mention last week or 2 weeks ago that judgment must begin at the house of God. I just want to mention that again, that we can look at the world, we can look at society, it's depraved, fallen state, but we need to point our fingers at ourselves and search our own hearts, and as individuals, as God's people, judgment must begin here. Is there any thoughts? Okay, yeah, one example from the Old Testament. Maybe I'll give you opportunity. If you think of some, is there any examples in the Old or New Testament where judgment wasn't exercised, or maybe it was? Any examples of for us that we can learn from these examples of judgment? One I had to think of was Joshua. He was a godly man. And he hardly ever fell, I guess you'd say. And yet there's a time the Gibeonites came to him and with their moldy bread and their worn bags, and he had to make judgment there. He just looked at the outward, and he said, "Yeah, we'll make a league with you." And afterwards they regretted it very much. He didn't ask counsel of God there. So that's just one example of judgment in a moment, and he didn't seek God's judgment and the long-term effects of it. Any other examples? Okay, mic is.
I had to think about Lot. He exercised poor judgment when he chose where to move and who to associate with, and was finally judged by God for his choices.
Okay, I appreciate that, thinking of the comparison of Abraham and Lot, but Lot there, just for a season, you know, I know how long Lot lived, but it's less than 100 years, but the eternal results of one man's choices, his judgment, so that's just a warning for us, that our decisions, our little decisions that we think, oh, that's not important, you know, work or so many practical areas in our life, you know, choices that we make. There is long-term effects sometimes that last for generations. So that ought to move us with fear to walk carefully, to make wise judgment and counsel. Okay, Micah 3:1. God wants us to experience judgment. He says, "And I said, Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil?" So again, a lot of the prophets were speaking to the people of God when they were in a cold spiritual condition. And here Micah is speaking that it's God's will that you know judgment, that you make wise choices, and even to know what is good and what is evil. That's one of the part of that discernment, that judgment, is to know what is right and what is wrong, to be wise, to choose wisely. I'm jumping around here a bit. 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about, that's the New Testament again. Well, in the context there, chapter 2 is talking about the wisdom of this world and the spiritual discernment. The thoughts of God that the natural man cannot receive. But then it says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then the last verse, jumping down, is, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Oh, the verse 15 there. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So that's the judgment or the discernment that we need. Spiritual judgment. Spiritual discernment. So that is of the Lord. So it's a spiritual. It's not earthly. It's not from the world. The world has a lot of counsel and direction to make judgment. But we dare not trust that. We dare not go the way of that. We need to seek the mind of Christ, God's will, God's ways in judgment. So I have here, God requires true judgment. Now, we said in the world has judgment. The court system, there's judgments made, and it's not always fair. People get let off sometimes, or occasionally sometimes people are judged when they don't deserve it. But God's judgment is always true and just, and that's what God requires of us, is true judgment. We can make decisions in our life, but is it according to God's will? Is it spiritual judgment? And Zechariah, different verses there, talks about executing true judgment and the judgment of truth. And so it must be... The only safe judgment to rely on is according to God's will. And that's why to 2 weeks ago, I said we need to know God, what He expects, that we can choose wisely, and then make wise judgments. Hosea 12 again, it says, keep mercy and judgment. And there's always mercy or justice with judgment, with God's judgment. So our judgment needs to be with mercy also. That's a part of judgment. Wait on God continually. And then, back in Deuteronomy, there's a lot of direction there about following God and choosing wisely. And Deuteronomy 8 is just one verse I picked out of there. I said before about children of Israel making choices, and there before they went in the promised land, Moses gave the law. He told them what God required of them, but they were to choose who they're going to follow, who they're going to serve, and just one verse there says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. So here when it talks about judgments, it's the law of God, it's the ways of God, it's the precepts of God. And it's a warning not to forget those things and rely on our own judgment, our own agenda, whatever it might be. All right, in Proverbs 21:3, I'm going to touch Proverbs later, but there's just one verse there I want to touch on now. Proverbs 21. Okay, I think we read 2 and 3. It's, again, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So we can justify ourselves in whatever choices and decisions we make. And it's a warning here. There's other verses too that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We think, at the time we were making the best choice. Lot was mentioned, and it looked much more, the markets were closer to him there, and all that he needed for business was so handy, and the soil was, it's much better soil, and it looked like a wise move to move down towards the plain. And but it looked good in his own eyes. It was so temporal. And it says, the Lord pondereth the hearts. So where was Lot's heart in moving down there? And we know Abraham's heart was, he had a vision, he had a faith in God, and he looked beyond the temple. So, but to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And that's another part of it. You know, some people think, they sacrifice for the Lord, that can come out in many ways. But all those things, like in 1 Corinthians 11 there, it talks about giving our bodies to be burned, giving all our money, doing great things. But if it's not out of love, or if it's not according to God's ways, it's vanity. It'll soon pass away. And so God values the heart, walking to Him in fear and submission to His will, to His lordship, more than outward service. Those things are important too, but they need to follow. I think a little later on we get into that more. Maybe we'll look at that now. Okay, Micah 6 and 8. Kind of follows that thought through. This is a common verse. It's it doesn't have the word judgment in it, but it's that aspect of it. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So the word justly is in there, which is justice, which goes with judgment. That's what God requires, is that humble, contrite heart, more than the outward service, more than the outward. And I came across something in a commentary that I thought was fitting with that verse. It says, even though the Mosaic system dealt with the externals, it was not exhausted by externals. The externals were evidences of that which was true in one's heart relationship with God, which is the root, while the externals are the fruit. So even in the Old Testament, the focus is on all those externals, but God desired a heart. He said, different places, oh, that there's such a heart in them, that they would serve him from the heart. And it's an Old Testament verse where the just shall live by faith. So even in the Old Testament, God wanted the heart. He wanted above the outward, and yet they were judged by the outward. The outward was very important, but that was only the fruit, as this explanation says here. They were dealing with the externals, but it was not exhausted by the externals. That was just evidences of the heart, of the true. So, okay, any other thoughts? I'm not asking any questions again. What? Anybody, any thoughts anyone has, or questions that you have? All right. I said God requires true judgment, and what is true judgment? We kind of overlapped here a bit, but 2 Samuel 8:15. I guess I didn't look up the context of this. But verse there, I just wanted to use an example. Well, I must have the... Okay, I made a mistake, but anyway... Oh no, here it is, I was looking wrong. Okay, David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. So, I think this is a little earlier in his life, but it says he executed, or he applied judgment and justice to all his people. So that's a challenge that I had to think of James there. James talks about not being partial in our judgment and having respect to persons is sin. And that's a challenge for us. We're all prone to be impartial in our judgment. We have people we get along better with. We have a little more mercy with them. There's other people we seem to pick on. And that's a challenge that it's righteous judgment. It's not partial. It's fair. And that's what God requires. That's godly judgment is according to justice. And it's fair. But David there, I know later we're going to, I'm not sure if I have that or not, but later he kind of neglected that. And then that's when Absalom kind of took advantage of that. But In this context here, it says he executed judgment to all his people. And that's a challenge that we don't neglect, that our choices are dealing with. Okay, Brother Jonathan? Brother Jonathan?
In 2 Samuel 23, some of David's last words, just to expand on that thought. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises. So David, at the end of his life, I think he recognized that God had spoken to him and ministered that to him. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And I think that's a key phrase there, ruling in the fear of God. You know, I think that'll help us to make proper judgments when we have the fear of God. I thought of Isaiah as well. You know, Isaiah in Isaiah 6. And just prior to that, if you look at Isaiah chapter 5, it's full of woes, you could say judgments, on the children of Israel. And those judgments were right. They were inspired by God, or Isaiah was inspired by God to pronounce those. But then also, then further in Isaiah 6, it says, it seems like the, well, first of all, it says, I saw the Lord on the throne, and through seeing the Lord, it seemed like he saw himself in a correct manner also. And then he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And my thought was just simply that, you know, in this whole matter of judgment, the need for the fear of God to make a correct judgment, and then also where we come out in that whole place is a proper judgment of ourselves. And I think the fear of God will bring that. I think of that sometimes, even just in, you know, sometimes I'll pray, Lord, I want this word first to do a work in my life before I share it with someone else. And that sort of brings us all in a level place where we are able to pronounce an accurate judgment on our own heart.
Okay, I really appreciate that. That's so basic, so true. That's, I want to emphasize that we don't misuse judgment. We only judge in the way that we want to be judged. And in the fear of God, it's a very... I don't have it today. We didn't get to it there 2 weeks ago, but I'll mention it now in case I forget. But there's quite a few scriptures, and I'll just touch on it right now. But even the Old Testament and the Revelation, Corinthians, but how we will be judging nations and judging angels, and I don't understand all that. And yet that's humbling to realize that you and I, if we're victorious, if we faithfully end, that we have this, I think it's Psalm that says this privilege or something, have all the saints to judge the earth, and thinking of judging and judging nations and angels, we feel pretty inadequate, and yet that's what we're called to do someday. So if we're not faithful today, we need to be faithful today in our judgment so that we can make wise judgment in the future. All right, that was well said about what Jonathan shared there about judging the fear of God. We dare not trying to bring out, lean on our own understanding, our own wisdom, or the wisdom of the world, but according to God's ways. Okay, along with that, there's John 7:24 says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, that takes discernment, that takes spiritual discernment, to not just judge by appearance. Appearance, it says something too, but it's we need to judge the heart, the motive, and not that we justify. We need to take heed that, what's the verse? I can't think the verse, but... If we go to some areas or we can be, it gives a wrong appearance So the outward there, we just can't think of any examples now, but our heart might be right, but if we're doing something that associates with evil, then I don't think we justify ourselves in that. Isaiah, again, speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, says he will not judge by what he sees, but he'll judge the heart. It's true judgment, righteous judgment. All right, I have, you know what to call it, growing in the way of judgment. As I say, youth, children, we start making judgment, we start making choices, and all through life, we're never done. Doesn't matter how old we are, we continue growing in making choices in life. And, of course, I think of Jesus is the way. I used the way of judgment, and so Jesus is the way. But looking under Jesus, that is our own safe light, our own safe guide, our own safe measuring stick that we use in making judgment. And so there's much in the epistles. Philippians 1:9 is one verse I have here. There's not sure what that says now. I just oh yeah. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So here love is associated. We need love. We need compassion and grace in our judgment and in our walking in God's ways. Colossians tells us that we're complete in him, and that prayer, that's very deep, sincere prayer of Paul's in Colossians 1, it's he says that to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and then increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, the word judgment isn't there, but again, that knowledge of God, being filled with the knowledge of God and increasing in the knowledge of God. It says all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think judgment, our choices, are included in that. So it's in Christ. As we grow in him, as we abide in him, and let his life live in us, it's his life, not ours, that can lead us in right judgment. Okay, I say Psalm 119 that talks a lot about the word judgment there. David, in two verses there, he talks about, teach me good judgment. Judgment comes from God. He's a source of all wisdom, of all judgment. And that's where David went. He saw his need of judgment. And it wasn't a thing to be feared. He desired the way of judgment. And he asked God to teach him that. Okay, another example is Ezra, another man that did a great work. He made choices. There's a lot of lessons from Ezra and Nehemiah. But in chapter 7 there, I want to look at that, verse 10. Ezra had a real vision there for God's work, for the people of God. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So, first of all, he prepared his own heart, like it was brought out. It begins with us. His heart was right before God. And then he could take leadership. He could do the will of God. So he sought the law of God. So he knew the heart of God, the ways of God, what God required. And then it says, then to do it, not just to know it, but to do it, to put it into practice. And then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So these judgments must be taught. And that's Old Testament, but that same principle in the New Testament. That's why we gather week by week. That's why we've teaching. That's one of the gifts to the church, is teachers, to teach us the way of the Lord. And then it comes through other men, like, say, teachers. In Ezra 7 there, also 25 to 28. Read these few verses. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. So, just a beautiful example there of Ezra. He prepared his heart. It was in his heart. And then it says, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine heart, that is in thine hand, then he was given authority to set up magistrates and judges to judge the people, to teach and to make known the statutes, the laws of God, the commandments of God. So there's first Ezra. He was kind of the overseer, and then he set up others under him to share in that responsibility, to teach the law of God. And then there was judgment meted out. There was sentence or consequences for those that didn't follow the law of God. And it mentions what it was. And then he says, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. So the house of the Lord, the place where they met with God, that was for God's glory. And so in the church today, in the New Testament church, if we're exercising and making right choices, following God's ways, and if the judgments of God are taught and lived out, it's a beautiful thing. And it's to God's honor and glory. It's his kingdom, not man's. Okay, over to Proverbs. And I've mentioned this before, but I've mentioned from here, and I've mentioned it personally to young people. If you're not young now, you were. Or maybe there's some that will be, but young people need judgment. We all do, as I say, but it's at this stage you're making choices that set a direction in life, and I've encouraged young people to read Proverbs. I was told when I was young, there's 31 Proverbs, so one for every day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, one for every day in the month. So maybe I didn't do it a lot, but for a month, or maybe for a couple months, but at least for 1 month, that just gives you, reads them once. But read one chapter of Proverbs every day for a month. And there's so much practical advice on, God's ways, God's judgment, how God expects us to live with others and with God. And especially the first few chapters, and I just challenge you, all of us, but especially you youth, we all need that. There's so much wisdom and instruction. And I just want to read a few verses in Proverbs there. In verse chapter 1, verse 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction. And so it's available to us, to know wisdom and instruction. We need that. And to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment. So here is justice and judgment again mentioned. To perceive, to receive, to understand, to know what sound godly judgment is, and equity. And Yeah, verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So if we want to be wise, we're going to listen to counsel and instruction. I remember years ago a man saying that when we're criticized, you know, sometimes people criticize us, but to always listen to it. You know, so often we just defend ourselves, we just throw it off, but a wise person will at least listen to criticism, and maybe there's something we can learn by it. At least if we're humble enough to listen, to receive it, and ponder on it. So a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Men of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And there's so many good verses there about loving wisdom, seeking after it, just as silver and gold. You know, we're pretty diligent in our day-to-day life. We work hard sometimes, overtime, and diligently sweat, and just for, we could say, an earthly crown, just for a few dollars in wages or for a good crop or something. We go to great lengths, but Proverbs brings out how seeking for her is hid treasures, putting a lot of effort into seeking wisdom and the knowledge of God. And maybe the word judgment isn't there too much, but it's part of the ways of God. And so there's a lot in those, especially, I say, the first five or six chapters of Proverbs. It's meditate upon those things. Read them and ponder the path of your feet. Let them not, the truths of God's word, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to the neck. And there's just good words of life there for us, words of blessing to those that obey God and apply his truths to our hearts and lives. Okay, we talked about Abraham, we mentioned David, there's Moses. Many of those men in the Old Testament, they judged, they gave counsel and direction and decisions to others. And in the case of Moses, there was another one that Jethro saw that he needed more help. So he gave advice and distributed out to others. So so I think even today in the New Testament church, we need others to share in making judgment and giving counsel and direction. And we talked about David, but there's a time there that David kind of neglected that, and then Absalom took that advantage of giving judgment and counsel to the people. And he kind of got the heart of God's heart of the Israelites during that time. So it just shows the power, the influence of judgment, and that needs to be done, of course, right. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about judgment in the church. It deals with little earthly matters, lawsuits, and practical areas of life. And we kind of know that chapter. Won't go into it too much, but it warns about why go out in the world and seek professional judges, judges of this world. Surely God's people are able to judge amongst themselves. So that's an area that we need to be open to, receive, and open to give judgment and direction in practical areas of life. We all face different choices, and so it's an area we need to exercise ourselves in. I had to think of 1 John 4:1. It says, "Try the spirits." That's a form of judgment too, and I think that's what we need today. What's the spirit? What's the heart? There's a lot of strange teaching out there, false teaching. There's a lot of things that appear holy and righteous and humble, but are they vain? Are they empty? Are they true? So again, we need the wisdom of God in trying the spirits and making judgment. What is the right way? I think of the book of Acts, you know, that was the church was new and zealous, and full of power there. There's a lot of things we can learn from the book of Acts. There's the time of Ananias. There's a case of judgment. Peter didn't just look at the outward there. He's with the Holy Spirit there, he made a right choice there. With Ananias, we think of Simeon, or Simon, was it? Simon, the sorcerer. Again, Paul discerned a wrong heart, a wrong spirit. There's Elymas. There's a damsel that she was speaking the truth. She says, these are the servants of the Most High God, and they teach us the way of the Lord or something like that. Like, it wasn't wrong what she was teaching, but it was her heart, her spirit was wrong. And eventually Paul judged her. He challenged her on that. And he made wise judgment. So just a few examples from the book of Acts. And then in Hebrews, there's a good verse there. It's, something we can learn by. Maybe we'll read that, Hebrews 11. Somebody said, we call this the faith chapter, but it's actually the works chapter. It's all these people, their faith was lived out by works in their life. And in verse 7 there, it talks about Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So he just didn't, it just wasn't a faith that he had hid in his heart. He just didn't talk it. He lived it out. We don't know. It doesn't say that he went around preaching. He didn't warn like Jonah did or others did. He just lived a godly life in the fear of God, and he built this ark. He obeyed. He lived it out day by day. And it says, by the which he condemned the world. And I looked that up, the Hebrew, the Greek word, I guess. And it's to judge against or sentence. So, but just his life, his godly life, his family life, his work life, it condemned the world or judged the world. And that's a challenge for us in our day-to-day lives, that our practical areas, our choices, I say, even how we drive, what entertainment, what music we choose, what our pastime, our hobbies, so many areas, practical areas of life. Is there judgment in those areas? Is it according to God's will? Is it glorifying God? Is it like Noah there? Does it condemn the world? Is it pointing out to a better way that we're not running after the same excess that the world runs after? Okay, Malachi 3:18, just at the end of the Old Testament. Different times those verses have been pointed out. Yeah, there's other good verses there. I'm just going to read verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now, Stephen mentioned we need discernment, or judgment that we're basically looking at today is discernment in our choices. And it says that we can know between the righteous and the wicked. And as I say, there's a lot of, well, some of us remember, it's a few years ago, but somebody came into the area with meetings, and he claimed to have many examples in other countries of raising the dead, people coming to life, and it stirred up some interest among some people. I was never at those meetings, so I want to be careful in judging, and yet heard a bit about it, that so those reports were apparently, no one could prove them. And there are some other things, I just forget too much about it. But yeah, it sounds good. Somebody that comes in, they're doing the work of God. The dead are being raised and people are being healed. But so that's an area we need true judgment in judging the righteous from the wicked. between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Not just judging by outward appearance. So, and then in the same book, 4:14, at the end of that, no, 4:4, I guess it is. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. So this is speaking to Israel, and we could say, well, that's all past, and yet Jesus did not do away with the law, he fulfilled it. So the law of God is still the same. The heart of God is still the same, even though the application or the outward changes with the under the new covenant. But remember ye the law of Moses. Those commandments, it shows us the heart of God. And we're to obey those commandments. It says, with the statutes and judgments, the ways of the Lord. So I just trust we can be challenged again to the two parts. There, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the judgment, the wrath of God. We need to serve God in fear and reverence, knowing that his ways are true. He is a holy God. And then today, that we need judgment in our day-to-day life, our choices that we make, and in church life, in our personal lives, family, whatever it be, we need the wisdom of God. So, any thoughts anyone has yet? There's other thoughts and verses I had that I didn't. I just kind of gave an overview a bit, and I maybe missed some more important areas. But any other thoughts you have on that subject? I guess I say there wasn't too many here 2 weeks ago, but I started with. I'll finish with what I started with. Jonathan read a verse a month or two ago about where there's no vision, the people perish. And I thought on that a lot for a couple of weeks. And I used that when I started this study. And some of the versions have that. I don't know if I have it here now or not. It was very interesting when it was. Yeah, that vision is a spiritual revelation or spiritual truth. It's a instruction in God's truth. There's different aspects of it, or even divine guidance. And we know in the Western church today that there's that independence, that every man can do that which is right in his own eyes. And so that vision is following God's ways. And that's kind of what brought me to this topic. And then the other side of it is that the people perish, and it's deprived of moral restraints, or there's different interpretations of it. It ends in moral chaos and social order. And one version is, this is a translation of the Bible, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. So I say that's what brought me to this, that if we don't follow God's judgments, God's ways, God's laws, if we don't accept that divine guidance, if we don't have a vision for what we want in our own lives or church life, then it's going to end in what we see in society today. People have thrown off truth. We read that verse about truth is falling in the street. People perish. There's no moral restraints. You just listen to the news almost every day, and there's what people are doing. It just shows they're running wild. There's no order. So as God's people, may God help us to be an example, to be a light, to walk wisely for His glory and also for our own good. It's again, God blesses those who honor Him and follow His ways. So I trust we'll be encouraged to seek the judgments of God and His ways, and walk in His ways.